from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Thursday, January 8th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. Hundreds of teachers held protests across North Carolina Wednesday in support of better teacher pay and the lack of a state budget. More than 50 schools were slated to participate, including several in Charlotte. James Farrell has more.
More than a dozen teachers from Paw Creek Elementary School protested along Brookshire Boulevard. Lauren DeVito is a third-grade teacher there who's in her second year. She says she loves her job, but worries it may not be a sustainable career.
All of us would rather be in there with our kids teaching right now, but this is something that the community needs to know about, and we found that people that are not in education don't really understand and just don't know.
Teachers are asking for the state to reinstate longevity pay, unfreeze pay scale increases for veteran teachers, and fully fund a court-ordered plan. NC Teachers in Action say they hope to build momentum with monthly protests leading up to April 7th when the General Assembly reconvenes. James Farrell, WFAE News.
North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis is continuing to escalate his criticism of the Trump administration as he prepares to step down at the end of his term. This week, he turned his ire onto White House advisor Stephen Miller after Miller said Greenland rightfully belongs to the U.S., and that no one is going to stop the administration from seizing it.
You don't speak on behalf of this U.S. Senator or the Congress. You can say it may be the position of the President of the United States that Greenland should be a part of the United States, but it's not the position of this government because we are a co-equal branch. And if that were come to pass, there would be a vote on the floor to make it real, not the surreal sort of environment that some deputy chief of staff thinks was cute to say on TV.
Tillis said staffers giving President Trump such bad advice should lose their jobs. A new statewide report shows that the vast majority of school districts don't have sufficient funding to update student laptops. WFDD's Amy Diaz reports.
Before the pandemic, only 16 school districts in North Carolina had a one-to-one device-to-student ratio. Now, all of them do. But with the loss of federal COVID-19 funding, 88 out of the state's 115 districts can't afford to refresh those devices. That's according to a new report on student digital learning access presented at this month's State Board of Education meeting. Board member Becky Spears says her district, Wilkes County Schools, is among those without sufficient local funding for technology.
Access is everything. And our devices are aging, and we don't have any ways to replace them.
Board members also pointed out that students in many areas across the state, especially post-Helene, don't have internet access at home. The report, which will be sent to the General Assembly, recommends establishing recurring state funding to sustain student devices. In Winston-Salem, I'm Amy Diaz.
Families who entered the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Magnet Lottery are getting results back this week. But as James Farrell reports, the district says there have been some technical issues.
CMS announced the launch of a new online platform called Parchment that was meant to streamline the magnet lottery process. But some parents said their kids were being mistakenly waitlisted. Assistant Communications Officer Tom Miner said the Parchment system addresses all applications but, quote, does not recognize which students already have a choice seat, meaning some students who reapplied for their current program might have seen a waitlist status. Miner said those students' current seats are not affected. Some parents reported that students who applied to their siblings' magnet program were also listed as waitlisted, despite district policy guaranteeing siblings a spot. Miner clarified that policy remains in place and siblings are still guaranteed a seat. James Farrell, WFAE News.
South Carolina Congressman and gubernatorial candidate Ralph Norman is calling on state lawmakers to redraw the state's only congressional district represented by a Democrat. In a statement, Norman praises Florida Governor Ron DeSantis's call for a special legislative session for redistricting and says South Carolina's Republican supermajority should take similar action to remake the state's 6th district. That district includes much of central South Carolina and is represented by Democrat Jim Clyburn, who has held the seat since 1993. Norman says the district is, quote, rigged. Budget carrier Avelo Airlines will make Concord Paget Regional Airport its main base in North Carolina and expand operations there, while cutting flights elsewhere in the state. Kenneth Lee reports.
Avelo Airlines said it will close 3 of its bases, including those in Raleigh and Wilmington, and expand operations at Concord. The airline said the Concord base will now have 3 aircraft stationed there. As part of the base consolidation, Avella will make some schedule changes that could affect customers. The airline also plans to remove six Boeing 737-700s and replace them with Boeing 737-800s. In November, Avella announced a new service from Concord to Chicago and Nashville beginning February 12th. Both routes will operate 4 days a week. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
North Carolina's unemployment rate ticked up a tenth of a percentage point in November compared to the year before. Eli Portillo has more.
The latest data show that the state's jobless rate rose to 3.8%. That's still nearly a full percentage point below the national rate. Data for the prior month, October 2025, aren't available because the government didn't collect any during the federal shutdown. Industries that saw job gains included construction, hospitality, and financial services. Employment fell in the state's education and health services fields, government, and manufacturing. Eli Portillo, WFAE News.
A high-speed police chase that began Wednesday in Mecklenburg County ended in Rowan County with the driver taken into custody. State troopers say the pursuit started before 11 a.m. after the vehicle was clocked at 103 miles an hour on Interstate 485. The chase continued onto Interstate 85 and ended in Salisbury, where the driver surrendered in a Lowe's parking lot. The suspect was identified as 31-year-old Hadari Williams of Charlotte. A trooper was involved in a crash during the pursuit, but is expected to be okay. South Carolina cyclists can soon get a little extra boost. Class 1 electric bikes are now allowed in all South Carolina state parks. That covers e-bikes that help riders out with motorized assist while pedaling. More powerful bikes that include a throttle and motor that can propel the bike without the rider pedaling are still banned. The Charlotte Hornets lost at home last night on a buzzer beater at the Spectrum Center, falling to the Toronto Raptors 97-96. 2025 was a boom year for Charlotte companies on the stock market. It was so good, in fact, that CNBC recently published an article naming the city King of the Stock Market in 2025. For more, Ashley Fay of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter spoke with our Marshall Terry for our segment, Bizworthy.
What were some of the stock highlights of some of Charlotte's notable public companies?
Yeah, Marshall. So of 24 local stocks that we track at the Ledger, 14 were up by double-digit percentages. Why this is the case, there could be a lot of reasons, but many of the ones kind of at the top of the list were in manufacturing and financial services, which as sectors did, I would say, pretty well overall in 2025, whether it's because of regulatory shifts, some of the tariff changes, which may be benefiting some manufacturers. Definitely leading the pack was CommScope, which was based in Catawba County until November, but also stocks of Charlotte-based banks and ones with big presence here, like Wells Fargo, Ally, Bank of America, Truist, also outperformed, I would say, in 2025.
Well, on the opposite end of the spectrum is Sycamore Brewing, which is still dealing with the fallout from the arrest last month of its co-founder on charges of sex crimes involving a 13-year-old. The Ledger obtained the latest sales figures for the brewery. So how bad is it?
Yeah, so before the arrest of co-founder Justin Brigham, sales for Sycamore were pretty much flat year over year for comparison. Following the arrest on December 11th, sales of Sycamore products fell by 43% in the week of December 8th, and then 85% the week starting December 15th. We can't really tell from the data whether that's retail sales or taproom sales, but as we all know, the taproom has closed indefinitely as of Monday. And we know that even before that, there has just been a lot fewer people there. Many grocery stores have pulled Sycamore products off their shelves, which would, of course, impact retail sales as well as at bars and bottle shops and the like. So 85% year over year in the week of December 15th, which is, again, Marshall, pretty substantial.
Well, let's move over to real estate now. The Ledger this week reported there's a glut of townhouses in Charlotte that's outpacing buyers. Townhouses were all the rage a few years ago, and I thought the city was growing so fast there wasn't enough housing to keep up.
Yeah, it's a very interesting phenomenon because I think most of us, when we drive around Charlotte, we probably see some amount of townhouse construction, whether they're newly on the market or ones being built. But we may actually just have a glut. The median sales price of a townhouse in Mecklenburg County was actually down from year over year, a drop of 1.3%. Townhouses are sitting on the market for longer now. A lot of the realtors who spoke with the Ledger say there's probably too many. There's also, more broadly in the housing market, a little bit of a disconnect between what sellers think they can achieve achieve. They're thinking the real estate market of a couple years ago and what buyers think the market is at. One real estate agent said sellers still think it's 2021 and buyers think we're in 2008. We're probably not in either situation, but I think that's causing some pricing disconnect. But I would anticipate, Marshall, in 2026, we might start to see a little bit of an equilibrium. I expect some builders might pull back on some of the townhouse building, but for now, we are just seeing a lot of this inventory just sitting on the market.
And finally, if you're flying this year, some good news. American Airlines is adding free high-speed Wi-Fi to all of its flights. So does this mean the end of just unplugging and reading the in-flight magazine?
Well, maybe if you are an AA Advantage member, because that's who they are offering the free high-speed Wi-Fi to. Starting this month, American will be rolling out access to free high-speed Wi-Fi to those members across the carrier's narrow-body and dual-class regional fleets. And they say by early spring, it expects that most of its flights will have that free Wi-Fi. It's something the airline has talked about before, but we're finally actually starting to see this roll out.
All right. Thanks, Ashley.
Great, thank you.
That's Ashley Fay of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter.
And for Thursday, January 8th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.